trouble, see, I'm home.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Having a Ball Podcast. I'm your host, Lucy.
And I'm Erica.
And today we are going over the episode Ricky Loses His Voice. It is season 2, episode 9. It aired December 1st, 1952. It was directed by William Asher, written by Jess Oppenheimer, Madeline Pugh, and Bob Carroll Jr. It was filmed August 22nd, 1952. It's a pretty simple synopsis. Ricky loses his voice. And
to the title.
Lucy puts on a play. There you go.
Lucy puts on a play.
An opening night. She doesn't put on a play. It's not a play. Before people tell me, what's a play? But she puts on like a performance.
Yeah, she takes over his show.
Performance for, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, for the new owner who's coming to see it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we open with a song.
Yes, we do.
You know what? I like this song.
I know. It's so random.
Like, it's funny. It's so random. And really, like, what? It seems like a gag song.
It really does.
Not something you would sing.
No. It seems like
in
he's
public, you know, like
practicing it for his own entertainment and perhaps to practice his voice, because this is not something that you would do to, you know, like an audience. It's just kind of it's like a gag song. You just, you know, it's funny. Do you want to do the lyrics?
Yeah.
Do you have the lyrics?
I do have the lyrics. I'm not going to sing it though.
Okay.
But I will say that this episode was one of the highest rated episodes of the half hour series.
Mm-hmm.
So this series. So he says, one day in Mexico. Did you want me to sing this? Because
You can say it. You know, it's pretty long. We could do half and half. But if you're going to sing, then you're doing the whole thing because I'm not singing. Okay. But I just noticed there's like no title to the song. There's no name to the song. But
there isn't. No. Mm-hmm. Okay. But he says, one day in Mexico, the radio picked up a station from the USA. I know the people heard just what occurred, a corny program known as Giveaway. They heard a lady with a diamond pin, a sable, and a brand new win, all of those things in a limousine. She took home all the loot and more to boot for knowing 12 and 5 are 17. The day in Mexico, the radio was heard by one whose name was Don Jose.
He said that. Yeah. He said, if that's what goes on all those shows, I think I'll go for a visit right away. He got his papers quick and then a ticket on a plane for Hollywood and Vine. He got to town at 8 and as sure as fate, he wound up at a studio at 9. So he got on the show right away. He knew that Mexico would hear the show and he was set to make his family proud. And so he whistled and raised his hand and yelled until they picked him from the crowd. He got the biggest score, and what is more, he even won the jackpot of the show. He blew his top because the prize, it was an airplane trip right back to Mexico. Now, a couple of things. This tells me that this poor young man struggled to get here, Hollywood and Vine, LA, by the way, and illegally is what I'm gathering.
Maybe it wasn't illegal.
Well, because he was returned back to Mexico. It doesn't say for a getaway or vacation.
No, he said it says the prize was an airplane trip. What do you think they did? He won the prize. You are looking way too far into this. He did not get deported from the show. Like, oh, look at him.
So
get
all
him
this time. Stage.
Send him back to Mexico. No.
Maybe I'm a little bit racist to my own kind.
Goodness gracious me. No.
And here we see the break of character and also the long friendship that Marco Rizzo has with Desi Arnaz, because even before I saw this on the looking up information on the episode, it caught my attention when he calls him Des, because he does do it a few times throughout the series, you know. Mm-hmm.
This is one of them.
Yeah. And he just I guess they just let it go and let it stay because it's so quick that people probably don't realize that he says it.
Did you catch the sponsors?
Yes, the blatant sponsor on top of the piano, the Philip Morris, because that, of course, was their sponsor at the time. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, sometimes they don't show that part, probably when they stopped sponsoring them.
Yeah, and actually, this intro here is not always shown. A lot of the times, it's cut usually from syndicated reruns. So most of the time it opens at the next scene, which is the girls in the hallway.
Yes. And it's one of the rare times that we see this hallway and her struggling to open the door, because we know that those people never lock their doors ever. I mean, the Mercets just fling the door open most of the time, but maybe when they leave.
Well, if they're there. Yeah. It's like, if they're there, they wouldn't need to lock it. But I know, you know, Ricky will come in sometimes, a few times he said like he's forgotten his keys or something.
Yeah. And I love what Lucy says to Ethel when she can't get the key to work.
For the rent you charge, you could have bigger keyholes.
Yeah. So she's struggling for a minute trying to open up that door because she's very excited about what's on the other side of that door.
Right. Because Ethel comes to tell, I bet she was waiting like to see Lucy walk in. Mm-hmm. But she wants to tell Lucy that the furniture from the prize, the contest they won.
The redecorating episode.
Yes. Episode. So I think this is the first episode with a very direct recall and link to the episode before.
Yeah, because if you just watch this episode,
they're trying to remember, like,
you're kind of confused as to why there's a room full of
furniture.
Yeah.
And now if you guys remember, we talked about this a little bit in the last episode, but they were supposed to win 5 rooms. The Ricardos are supposed to win 5 rooms of furniture, and they have won. Well, you know, what is in their room, in that room, is nowhere near 5. So maybe they put some down the hallway and stuff, but I think you only ever see 2 rooms, which is the living room redone and the bedroom is redone as well.
And of course, once you look into the bedroom, we'll see it later when Ricky comes into play, it's really points out that they have 2 twin beds, which is baffling why the next episode.
So stupid.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
we get into how that happened, but she's very okay. So she opens up the door as soon as they both come in, and she's just losing her mind about all of the brand new furniture, and it looks crowded because she forgot to take out the old one, the old furniture. And so, of course, like we said, it's a callback. You have to know that she won this from the home show the previous episode, and now it's being delivered. And then they cut to already having, you know, redone it, removing the old furniture, and now it's like a brand new set, and Ethel's like posing to see how beautiful it looks in the living room. She's just sits on the chair.
Well, Ethel's posing and Lucy's like walking in.
Let me walk in from another room.
Taking the scene, you know. So they're both being weird. And I love it. Also, I want to say again, I know I said this last time, but my goodness, how much did they pay on the taxes for this winning?
It's a lot of furniture.
I wish that I could like do the math, but there's no way. I mean, maybe, but I don't know exactly all they won, so I can't go through it and see what each piece was and then taxes on that. But it'd be interesting.
Fred comes in, I'm assuming from the kitchen, because then he gets a surprise when he opens up the other door. But he comes in, he's just like, whoa, this is nice. You know, this is real pretty. And
there's a whistle.
Like, yes. And Fred's known for whistling. And then she asks him to take the rest of just a few couple of pieces downstairs.
Just a few things downstairs. And he's like, sure, I can
absolutely.
Do that.
And
she's like, it's just out there. Mm-hmm. And he opens the door. It's just completely
packed with furniture.
Flowing, packed. Yeah.
Which kind of reminds me of that episode when they're moving to the country, but they have to live with the Mertzes for a little bit. And their entire apartment is just packed with furniture. I love those episodes. Can't wait till we get to those.
It reminds that, we're talking about episodes where they live. Remember the one where they have little Ricky?
Yes.
And they like lease their apartment out to that man.
The guy who's scared of his own shadow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's crowded too.
Oh, but anyways, that's right. Yes. Or when they buy new furniture in the country house. Oh my God, there's a lot of furniture episodes.
So many furniture episodes. While they're looking at the few pieces of things outside
in the hallway,
Lucy is like, something's moving. And Ethel's like, that's impossible. Nothing's moving. What does Ricky say from inside? It is possible.
It's me. And so he comes in and, you know, she's expecting a much more excited reaction from him because you have a whole new look to your living room, sir. I expect a little more excitement here, but he's not feeling well. And she's like, oh, you don't like it. You know, you're not happy with the new furniture. Because he's like, oh, it's nice, but very unenthusiastic about it. He just explains that he's not feeling well, that he hasn't been feeling well all day at work.
All right. You can already tell that Ricky's just a baby when he's sick, like straight off the bat, because he's like, I don't feel so good. Right. And then she starts talking about something else. He asks her to get him aspirin. Mm-hmm. She's like, sure. And then she asks Ethel, what do you think if I move the chair over here? And Ricky goes, please, Lucy, I don't feel good. I'm like, oh, the my aspirin. Goodness, dude. Go get your own aspirin. You're not dying.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was so serious. You think I'll make it by the time I get back from the bedroom? Please don't make fun. It's serious.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So and that's a very typical response of society has of men being sick, you know, because.
Is your husband a baby when he's sick?
Yes and no. I would say
not that bad.
Not that bad. But yeah, but I don't I despise being sick because I don't like just laying there. It just makes me feel like well, I guess like this, you know, Ethel says that I think she broke her ankle last year and Fred said walk on it. It'll help heal it. So he asked for breakfast. But you know, think about that. You have a little baby or you have, you know, multiple kids. And as mom, you know, just society wise, I know there's all kinds of scenarios in different homes, but for the most part, in general, you're just expected to just keep going. You don't have the luxury of just.
Let me try to imagine that.
So she's now in nurse mode. And he's not feeling well. So we cut to the next scene the next day, and he's laying in bed. His voice is even worse. It's gone. It's getting gone.
It's getting gone. Yes. But he's still talking because he's still complaining. I can still hear you. Must not be that bad. Mm-hmm. No. Saying he's not feeling well, asking her to look in his throat. I love when she comes in and like scrubs. That's a little while away, but
yeah.
Oh, and I forgot to mention, I just jumped through it. So we come into this scene, right, where he's in the bedroom and you get to see the new bedroom where there's separate beds.
Yes.
I read a study that says that sleeping separately is actually beneficial to your sleep because you get better sleep. And I was like, you know what? I believe it. You don't have to fight for covers. You don't have to...
That, you know, we could spin this into a whole other episode. This could become a therapy podcast.
When to kick your spouse out of bed. When is it healthy? No. But yeah, so you see the separate beds. They did that on purpose, right? Because Lucy's going to be pregnant.
Right.
Are you not supposed to sleep in the same bed as a pregnant woman? Or are they trying to pretend that she somehow miraculously got pregnant?
That's kind of what I was getting to bed. Earlier. And so you get the twin bed thing. And then the next episode after this, just, you know, spoiler alert, is when we find out that she's expecting. So you're wondering how, you know,
when did listen, this
happen? It's probably a lot cozier to sleep together in a twin bed. So there's that. And so Ricky tries
take
to
take my milk in a twin.
That, ladies and gentlemen, was a callback to one of our first episodes where we discussed Desi Arnaz and milk and hospitals and his military service. So if none of this makes sense, listen to our Desi Arnaz episode.
That one.
Thank you very much.
Anyways.
So he tries to sing Babaloo and his voice is cracking. And she's like, that's pretty bubble lousy, you know, because it's just not sounding good. There's no way he's going to, because he wants to get up and just go to work. And she's like, it's not going to happen. He's like, I got to stage the show for Mr. Chambers.
My boss.
Mm-hmm. So she's like, I don't care who stages it. You're sick. You got to stay home. The doctor comes in, I suppose, and tells her that he needs to save his voice.
Have you ever been told that? Like, you see that all the time in these old TV shows, but I don't know that I've never been and I've never heard anyone be like,
don't talk.
You can't talk. Because laryngitis, the only time, you lose your voice, don't you? Like,
the only
no matter
time
what.
I ever have heard it is like celebrity or singers with
saving
massive voices, like a Mariah Carey, right? And so she has, you know, they always end up with like vocal surgeries, or they have to go on vocal rest because they have a performance coming up or something like that. And so they're told to, you know, maybe don't talk.
I wish
or
I could do that. Going to work, like, I'm sorry, I'm on vocal rest.
I can't talk to you. Leave me alone.
Shut up.
And so, you know, when you're sick, maybe that was just one of the ways they were trying to figure out how to solve their issue. Doctor suggests not talking. And of course, you know, that's where Fred comes in. It's like, maybe you should stay up here and catch what he has.
All right. You're so funny, dude. I love how we both have the same reaction to that. Like, ooh, good for you.
Oh, Fred. And yeah, so he doesn't, you know, he's asking her not to speak, essentially. He has to write everything on a chalkboard. So he's trying to figure out. So
even more of a child comes. Mm-hmm.
And so that's where she comes in and is wanting to look at his throat, and has got that outfit in the closet, dressed like a doctor. And she says it looks like Carlsbad Caverns down there, you know, looking at all the different colors. And Carlsbad Caverns is a national park in the desert of southern New Mexico. It features more than 100 like colorful caves. My husband always talks about this place, and I'm really wanting to go look at this. The national entrance is a path into the namesake Carlsbad Cavern. And that's what she's alluding to when she says that's what his throat looks like. She puts a flashlight. No, she doesn't know she's looking at.
Well, she looks in there without a flashlight. Yeah. And then she goes, yep, just what I expect. It's dark down there.
Down there.
It's dark down there. So he's like, listen, it's not funny. My throat really, it's getting even worse. And I'm feeling really cold and clammy on my stomach.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
So she pulls out this hot water bottle that's like cold now and leaking. Yeah.
Have you ever used one of those?
No. And I was going to say, I have seen horrific burns from people that like put boiling water in it.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to put boiling water in.
You know what's...
But like, I just horrific.
One. When I was a kid and you would get a toothache, that's what my mom would use to kind of soothe me to go to sleep.
Really? Use it as like a pillow?
Yes. To talk. So obviously she didn't boil it, otherwise it'd be burnt, you know.
Like, water scalding face. Yeah,
yeah, scalding, but it's all red and peeling. And no, she would give me that to kind of use like a pillow to soothe me to sleep. So, you know, till the next morning, go to the dentist. But in the meantime, you're suffering with this pain. So she'd give me that to put wherever the tooth pain is. That always reminds me of that when I see this episode.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I've never used one. I've only used the, you know, the heating pads nowadays.
And so I love how she says, you know, he's trying to get a little bit of an appetite so he can get something to eat, and, you know, just like a little bit of juice. So not wanting breakfast, because he said at first he didn't want it. She's like, no, maybe you should get something to, you know, bring up your strength. So he goes from not wanting any breakfast at all to wanting orange juice, coffee, butter toast, bacon, and poached eggs.
Be like, okay, you're not feeling that bad then, dude. That's a big breakfast.
Yeah, that is. That's a lot of work. Yeah.
So after all of this, yeah, well, we forgot about the fact that she basically has to force medicine down his throat.
Yes, she does that whole thing like a kid.
He closes. Yeah. And then after that, he really is. He's like, this is silly. You know, I have to put on this show,
act like a
for
baby,
my new
I'm
boss.
Treat you like one.
Yeah, but he's saying, you know, I have to put on the show for my new boss. And Lucy's like, no, like, your boss can put it on. I'll ask him.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, and then she was like, it's too important to
a phone call.
I'll go down.
Mm-hmm.
But then she ends up not going down there. She calls him first, I think, to say she's coming down.
No, he calls. He ends up
he
calling
calls.
Right before
okay.
she even steps out of the apartment. And he's like, oh, I was just about to call you, you know, or just to about to go visit you. And he's like, well, I'm getting ready to leave, you know. And so he's expecting Ricky to really have, you know, be on top of things, and vice versa. And so none of them know that he can't. And so Lucy is like, well,
Lucy,
you know,
keeps that secret.
Yeah.
So from both of them, really.
She's not making it a big deal at first. And then, of course, it strikes her, as it usually does, that she could run this whole show herself.
Oh, right. All right. Before we get into that,
mm-hmm.
Arthur Q. Bryan is the new
owner of the Tropicana.
He's Mr. Mm-hmm. Chambers.
Yes.
He appeared with Lucille Ball in Look Who's Laughing, and he's probably best known for his voice acting is Elmer.
Yes.
The original, mm-hmm. The Warner Brother cartoons.
That's pretty cool.
Yep. And then he also played for 10 series as Doc Gamble on Fibber McGee and Molly, which was a radio show, I think I said.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, he's got a lot of experience. And one of the things we don't ever find out is why Mr. Littlefield left, which is,
yeah, that's
it's crazy.
True.
He just left.
We very much made it known that he was the owner. I mean, we had that whole scene mm-hmm. last season. So yeah, he just kind of left, and then later on Ricky ends up buying it anyway himself. But that's later.
A few years
in
from
a couple
now
of years. And so she's like, you know, I'll just do it myself. And well,
yeah,
Ethel plants this idea,
of course.
So, you know, and so she's like, you want to be in it too. So her and Fred can audition to do their 1927 flapper show, you know, vaudeville show.
Yeah. Well, they end up doing. So I love when, first of all, when Ethel goes, Fred and I can do another dance routine. And Lucy goes, right after my opening number, Fred comes up with this idea to do Flapper Follies of 1927.
Mm-hmm.
Because what was he in it? In Jamestown?
Right. And so he tells.
She thinks it's the Jamestown, right?
No. The palace. He says,
the palace,
yeah, he's
right.
in the palace. So she's thinking London.
Palace.
Yes. And so
yeah,
he's like, no,
he goes,
in Jamestown.
Yes. Sorry. I had that mixed up.
Mm-hmm. And so she's, of course, this is a nod to Lucille Ball's hometown.
Right. And so they say that they've called up all the flappers
and they're all
the
still
originals, and they're all still willing to do it. And I went, did you not remember that they get older? You got older.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Now this scene, well, maybe not this scene, it'll be a later scene when Ricky sees that these are not young ladies. It's a very ageist situation happening here on the I Love Lucy show, where, you know, it's the only reason that it seems unappealing is because they're older, you know. And mm-hmm. so yeah, it's a show from 1927. It's now 1952, which, by the way, was one of the few times, if any other time, I don't think, that they mention what year in real time they are existing in. You know, you don't really hear the year,
yeah,
probably
we don't hear
just
that very much, do we?
So they can be evergreen and, you know, just use them whenever. But it's just interesting here that they did that because of the song. You know, later on we'll talk about that. And so they cut to the next scene, which Ricky's miraculously is better. I'm
all better.
Now he's
all
up
better.
There and he's performing Sweet and Lovely. Now this one here, now this is when we get introduced to the girls dancing around. Now from our friend on Paper Moon Loves Lucy.
Yes, Paper
from
Moon.
This if you haven't heard our episode with Michael Mooney from our previous episode, that's our source of information from his Tumblr page, Paper Moon Loves Lucy. Now, what I got from The Sweet and Lovely was that the show begins, this is from his page, so the show begins with the now recovered Ricky crooning to the original Follies girls of 1927. Of course, they're all older.
They're off stage right now, too.
They're off
stage. So he doesn't know what they look like right away.
What's about to hit him? And the song Sweet and Lovely is credited to Gus Arnheim and Neil Morritt with lyrics by Harry Tobias. In fact, Arnheim, for whom this work became a theme song for his orchestra, was not a composer and probably was not involved in the song's composition. Neil Morritt is a pseudonym for Charles N. Daniels, who is probably the sole composer of the music for the song, which is the Sweet and Lovely song that's from Paper Moon. And so in come the Flapper Girls, the Flapper Chorus Girls, and some of those faces we recognize from previous episodes.
So again, this is from Paper Moon. I'm just going to read through a few. Mm-hmm. We've got Gertrude Astor is the first actress to sign a contract with Universal in 1915, though she began screen acting in 1911. We've got Barbara Pepper.
Mm-hmm.
This is the third of 9 appearances that she'll make on this show. She also plays Arnold the Pig's mother, Florence Zeffel, on Green Acres. You've got Hazel Pierce, which we know a lot about.
Yes.
She's the flapper who says, "I'm an angel."
I'm an angel. And the look on his face when she says that.
She had such a fun time in this one, I think. Uh-huh. You've got Helen Dixon.
Mm-hmm.
And she ended up appearing in 3 films with Lucille Ball. She was in Carnival in 1935, The Big Street in 1942, and Two Smart People in 1946. Those are them.
And like I said, what I love here is he's so unsuspecting of all these women coming in, because he has no idea that it's been all, he thinks Mr. Chambers put it together. Mr. Chambers thinks Ricky put it together, and really it's Lucy and the Mertzes. After this, you know, he's shocked, Ricky. He's got like, what in the world is happening here? Then we get the Carolina in the Morning song, which is the infamous song with Fred and Ethel. And of course it's a vaudevillian song. And I think this is one of a couple of times we hear this song on I Love Lucy.
Yes. And I do want to say, like, I think that they played this up a bit because I've heard both of them sing.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if they were, like, it was supposed to be that they were bad at this, right?
Yeah.
That they weren't good at performing. And so I think we see that because we know what powerhouse Vivian Vance is at singing, and even William Frawley. And so we know that they probably could have just hit this out of the park, mm-hmm. but they're playing it as that they can't sing
badly.
That well.
Right.
Yeah. And so their choreography is a little bit off. Their singing's just a little bit off. So it passes, but it's not great. Right.
Yeah.
But Lucy's showbiz swan song.
Oh, okay. Yes. And
is it this song or is it just a 20s review? I don't know.
I do believe that they do sing this song.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll see.
Now, I do remember when we did do a episode on Willem Frawley that he had mentioned being having introduced this song, Carolina in the Morning, but it was also recorded by Al Jolson.
And then after that, who do we get?
We get Miss Lucy with her ukulele. Lucy. Has anybody seen my gal? 5'2".
And I just love how she like starts, the first like 3 notes are really nice, and then she goes into that. I don't even know what it's called. What kind of singing that's called?
Just fast paced motion, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And what I love is, you know, here she's still concealing her pregnancy. It hasn't been announced yet. So she's wearing this flapper dress and she's got this
big bow
over the belly, which is so obvious, but really cute. It's I love it. I love it when
it
she plays
is
the flapper.
Cute.
She's got that.
And as soon as you know, like if you see it, you're like, oh, she's pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
It's not huge or anything, but you can definitely tell she's getting a little bump. But
so the look on Ricky's face is priceless here, because his eyes, per usual, you know, just pop out of his head. And then all of a sudden he sees his boss, Mr. Chambers, join in, because they knew, they mentioned it back when they were planning it, that he was a big vaudevillian.
Yeah, and he's all around the age of the other performers. So he's, you know, in he heaven. Probably really liked, you know, that Ricky would take the initiative to have such, you know.
And if I'm not mistaken, people. He's never mentioned again until Ricky buys the club.
I don't think so. I think you're right. I don't think he's ever mentioned again. I would also like to point out that, you know, this is like the end of the show. They have this wonderful, right, like, Charleston at the end where mm-hmm. they're all dancing.
Yes.
That's when you see Mr. Chambers come out. But again, Lucy puts together a really good show.
It is. Nothing to be upset about here. Nothing to yell. Just the fact that he didn't know.
Didn't know. Yeah, but I was like, again, she comes through for him. You know? He makes it seem like it's like the worst thing in the world.
Yeah. For a person who's not supposedly not talented, that was a lot to put together a show. Right? An entire show.
Exactly.
And get all the ladies. They're all available.
Yay.
So that's the end of that. It ends up being happy. I mean, there isn't much of a conclusion other than the continue dancing, and that's about it.
Yeah, but they're all smiling. So it's like, okay.
We're happy. We're good. No one's going to get yelled at later.
And I think, so I was going, this was a fast episode. I think it's because there were so many dancing scenes.
You know, a big chunk of it did take place in the whole show, in the mm-hmm. dancing, mm-hmm. the singing and all of that. It was just like a snippet in the beginning of the furniture excitement. And then it moves on to quickly into him being sick. But the majority, I think like maybe 8-9 minutes of
it's
it.
It's like 7 minutes. It's only seven minutes.
Okay. Was the show at the club. So that's probably why I felt like it went by.
But I said only 7 minutes. That's still a good period of time.
Oh, it's a long, yeah,
it is. Voted of a 22-minute episode.
Yeah.
That's a good period of time. So that's that.
That's
this episode.
Yeah. Ricky loses his voice. Now, what I love is that we're on season 2, episode 9, and singular numbers still. So we have a long way to go.
We've been doing other things as well.
Oh, yes. If you listen to our podcast at all, you know that we are. And so we have, like I mentioned, we had an interview with Michael Mooney previous to this. And we'll probably be doing a movie review coming up. But yeah, we'll just keep chugging along with these episodes. I'm really excited about the upcoming pregnancy reveals and, you know,
the next episode's gonna be so fun.
Yeah. And so of course it's Lucy is enchant.
Because we can't enchant. Say pregnant and they can't share a bed.
Yeah. You know, and so this is where she, you know, reveals to Ricky that she's pregnant. You and
can't drink milk separately and have a baby. Doesn't work like that. Anyways. With that,
follow us everywhere on Having a Ball Pod on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, everywhere, and all your favorite streaming services. Thank you guys.
Yes, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.